There's two kinds of people. Those who put people into groups and those who don't. Well, I'm one of the groups that put people into groups. So there's two categories here. There are those people who God blesses and those people who God directs, the ones who are connected with God and could really care less about the world and everything else that's out there because they're connected with God. And it reminds me so much of a person who is newly married and they've got a brand new husband or wife. And it's like, I don't need to look for another one. I've got one, right? The best that there is. And their eyes now all of a sudden are closed to everybody else because their life is satisfied. And when those people who God blesses and directs, I think, are like that, and that God has, they have found satisfaction in their life from God. God has satisfied them. Man shall live, not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that satisfies these people. Then, on the other hand, there are those that he doesn't bless. He won't bless them. Matter of fact, he condemns them. And so if you went to the bookstore, you can do that this afternoon, Barnes & Noble. That other one, I don't remember the name. Borders, yeah, that's the other one. Go down there in the self-help section and look at all the books that you can find that tell you what to do in order for you to be a success. I've got one on my shelf in the office there, Success for Dummies. Now, if a dummy can be a success, I guess there's hope for me. But there, all of those things, all of those books, all of those self-help ideas are pointed at you or individuals being a success in the world as the world measures successes. It doesn't matter which endeavor. It doesn't matter what you want to undertake. You can find a book that will tell you how to be a success. But I'm here to tell you this. I feel an obligation to say this to you, that there is no book anywhere. There is no philosophy anywhere. There is no teacher in any university anywhere that can guarantee you success with God except God's Word. That's it. If you think that you can find a book on how to be successful as a real estate agent and apply that to your life with God, you're mistaken. Here in God's Word is the insight, the light that we need in order to be a success with God. So, with all of that said, I want to look at God's Word. And I'm going to draw out four principles this morning, just four. And now these four are not the complete list. You'll probably come up with a couple and say, hey, Chuck, you should have mentioned this one. Or here's one, Chuck, what about that? These four are mine. They're not. It's not an inclusive list. But these are the four that go along with four to go towards success. These four principles for success in life with God. Open your Bibles to James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Two very difficult passages that sometimes it's easier to avoid than to deal with. But the very first principle, if you're keeping score, I'll give you time to find James 4 and write this down if you'd like, but the first principle is to develop a quiet time. Develop a quiet time and draw near to God and be consistent at that. A quiet time. You can have a quiet time going to work. Shut the radio off. Shut the tape deck off. Shut all that stuff off. And listen to God. Talk to God. Sit there in the quiet. Listen, it is very essential, I think, and important to shut out the noise of the world so that we can focus on God. I was sitting quiet the other day, and I got this noise in my ears, and it's like, Wow, I've never heard that before, because all the other noise was louder. If I plug my ears, I can hear it, you know. It's just like a buzzing kind of thing going on. I guess it's from getting older. So James, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. This is what the Apostle James encourages us, directs us, teaches us. He says, therefore, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. He will give you success. He will, as it says in Psalm 1, whatever you do will prosper if you humble yourself before God so he can lift you up. So from this passage, I'm going to conclude these things. We need to have a quiet time with God so that we can make the choice to serve him. Make the willful choice to serve him. Here I am on my way to an appointment in my car. I shut the radio off, turn off all the other external noise. And I'm on my way to an appointment with somebody I really don't care for. And I'm going to talk to God about it because I want to be his servant with that person, not my servant. I don't want to serve myself. I want to serve God. How does God want me to serve that individual I don't care for when I meet up with them? You see, I need the quiet time to draw near to God. Because if I don't draw near to God, I'm going to be serving myself. And when I start serving myself, it says, as James says there in verse 7, I'm not resisting the devil. I'm not resisting that which is opposed to God. I'm not resisting it. I'm giving into it. And if I'm giving into it, God can't use me. That's why I need to have that quiet time. So I can make a choice to serve him, to seek him, to draw near to him. I need to have that quiet time too. And this is partially part of it. But that successful person has decided to learn how to recognize God's voice and the enemy's voice. Well, the Bible declares it this way, that there's your flesh and there's the world and there's the devil. Now, take all those three as one enemy or as the enemy. How do you know who's calling you? Is it your flesh? Is it the world? Is it God? How do you know? The successful person has decided, I'm going to learn how to discern God's voice in my life as opposed to all the other voices out there. I want to focus in on what God wants for me to do. And when we read the Word, we put it in our brain, we allow it to stay there, we learn what's here and how it affects us, then we get to find ourselves in a situation. God's able then to recall that scripture to you and say, hey, remember this? Oh, thank you, Father, I forgot. Thank you, Father. You see, that's what the successful person has done. As he said, cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. The successful person will continue to clean up their act. The successful person knows that there's no point where I have arrived and now all of a sudden I can retire. There is no retirement. There is no point where you have achieved the final goal until you stand face to face with Jesus. Now, if you've done that, you can come up here and tell us all about it. But if you haven't, then there is a necessity for every believer to purify themselves as Jesus is pure, because we know we're going to see him face to face. The successful person will continue to clean up their act in actions and thoughts and words in all relationships. Oh, I feel kind of bad about talking that way. Well, then don't talk that way. Well, I feel kind of bad when I do that. Then don't do that. You go in your quiet time with this thing before God and tell Him, I've got this cancerous sore in my life. Father, will you help me deal with it? Show me what I need to do to remove it. You see, because that cancerous sore might feel good. It might give us a little bit of pleasure. That's why the successful person here, according to James, purify your hearts, you double-minded. The successful person will be single-minded. Not looking for what I can get, but what God wants out of me. Learn how to be quiet and wait on God. Learn how to be quiet and wait on God. Wait. A quiet time isn't just once a day kind of a thing. Sometimes you have to do it more than just once a day. Several times a day. Multiple times a day. But we need to do it so that we can be quiet and wait on God. I want to read for you what it says in Psalm 46. If I can find it. Psalm 46. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Lord of hosts is with you? And if somebody so important is with us, don't you want to give them some attention? Don't you want to give them your undivided attention? It's like you've got a friend or a long-lost relative that you really love and admire has said, called up and said, I want to come and see you. And you say, well, you can come and stay at my house, but I'm busy. I got other plans. No, you would make time for them. You'd give them your undivided attention, and that's what God wants for us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know. Be still. You don't have to run around like a chicken with its head cut off. We can be still and know that He is God. There's this branch and vine relationship that Jesus talked about in John chapter 15. The branch, what does the branch do for the vine? What does the branch do for the tree? It just kind of hangs out there, right? And the tree really gives it all of the juice, all of the nourishment that it needs. That's the way we are. We don't have to run around trying to force this from God or through Jesus, but we can accept what He gives to us in our quiet times. To let that spiritual juice, that spiritual nourishment flow through Jesus into us in our quiet times. That's why a successful person develops a quiet time. That's the first one. The second one is that I've touched on many times. We need to seek counsel from God first, through His Word. First. That's the primary thing. What does God say about this? What does God want you to do in this situation? How shall I handle this? How does God want a person with His Spirit to respond to that, to this? How does God want a person to grow old, who's crippled, who's sick? How does God want the person to respond? You see, we need to seek counsel from God's Word first. I'm not saying avoid doctors. Don't misunderstand me. But I've seen people who are ill, sick, some of the orneriest, nastiest people to be around because you ain't helping me and you ain't doing this. But on the other hand, I've seen some people who've been deathly ill, thanking nurses, asking nurses, oh no, you don't have to bother. You see, altogether different. That's the thing I'm talking about. How are you responding to the things that life brings to your doorstep? That's why we need to seek God's counsel first. That's where success is found. We seek this counsel from God's word first. I was going to have you look at Genesis, the first couple of chapters of Genesis. Going back there, we look at Adam and Eve being created by our Heavenly Father, and God spoke with them, communed with them. God created us to be revelation receivers, to receive information from God. Not like a prophet and a revelation of a new thing. It might be new to us, but not to everybody. He had created us to be revelation receivers. And it was a good illustration yesterday at the little fellowship we had in San Diego. The children had walkie-talkies. You know these little plastic walkie-talkies? Well, there's different channels on there that you can set these things to and talk. So if you're on a channel with me that nobody else is on, nobody can hear us talk back and forth. Well, you see, God has given to us His frequency receiver so we can receive the frequency God operates on through His Spirit. You don't have it, you're not going to get what He wants you to get if you don't have His receiver. We need it. We need to have His. He has made us to be revelation receivers, so when we read His Word, we can receive what He wants us to have from it. There are some people who are going to distort and twist God's Word to make it fit all kinds of things. Even from the same Scriptures, people are going to disagree about a thing or a topic, and both of them are going to prove they're right from the same Scriptures. Now, that's wonderful to me. But then again, you know, you go to court, you've got a defense lawyer and a prosecuting attorney, and they're going to, with the same law, prove this guy is either innocent or guilty. So they can do the same, two different things from the same law. People are doing that with the Scriptures. That's why it's important to know what God says, what his voice sounds like. Back in the garden, in chapter 3 of Genesis, that's where the lie came in. The lie came in and said, oh, did he really say you were going to die? Are you sure you heard him right? From that truth, the person, Eve, was distracted from the truth to, well, you know, that does look like something that might really be good. And it might be nice to be wise. And I'm not sure about this dying thing, so I'm going to try it. Twisted God's word, deceived her, she deceived her husband. Because it comes up either way. We've got trials in our lives, hard times set upon us. We're trudging like pulling a cement block, you know, through the mud. It's hard, and you keep moving forward because, you know, that's what God wants you to do. That's one side. We need to seek God's counsel in that situation. On the other side of it is, here's something that's going to be fun, although God says don't do it. It's going to be enjoyable. It's going to bring me pleasure. Both things, the suffering and the promise of forbidden pleasure, both of those things need to be answered with counsel from God's Word. Because whether it's the suffering or it's the forbidden pleasure, those are storms. Those are like the storms that come upon our lives. Jesus said, those who hear my word and do them, what's he like? Oh, he's like the man who built his house on a rock. So when those storms come and beat against that house, it stood. The ones who hear my word and don't do them, they're like a guy who built his house on the sand. And when the storm come, he had no foundation. He wiped the sand away and the house fell. Splat. Just like the old song. The successful person will seek God's counsel when trials and storms and pain hit home. And against those lies that you're going to hear from preachers with the word, they're going to say that things like, God didn't create you to be unhappy. God didn't create you to be poor. God didn't create you to be suffering. God didn't create you to be sick. You have to satisfy yourself before you can love other people. You see, these kind of lies are the things that draw people away. That fruit is really desirable. It looks good. It's good to eat. It's good to be wise. All of these things that press upon our vanity, on our selfishness, that's the thing we need to seek God's counsel for. So man doesn't live by blowing. Man doesn't live by all the pleasures in this world that we can find. Man doesn't live by avoiding suffering. Man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so, we know the successful person finds quiet time. The successful person understands God's word and finds counsel from God's word. So, these last two points, the successful person gives away or gives way to other people first. The golden rule, Matthew 7:12. Giving to other people first. Matthew 7:12 tells us, in effect, give thought to the other person first. How do you want people to deal with you? How do you want people to treat you? That's how you treat the other person. You know yourself. You know how you like it or dislike it. You know how you enjoy it or don't like it. Well, just that's what you do to other people. You like short answers? You like having your head bit off? Well, then don't give people short answers and don't bite their heads off. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple principle. From Matthew 7, we go to Romans chapter 15. This one I'd like you to look at. Here the Apostle Paul gives us this bit of wisdom. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. The successful person will give way to other people first. Thinking, yeah, I'd like somebody to let me in the line. Yeah, I would like to have somebody let me go ahead of them. Would you? Then let somebody go ahead of you. Here, Romans 15, 1 and 2. We ought then, and this is qualified, we ought then who are strong. Now if you're not strong spiritually, you can just close it up and close your eyes, plug your ears. This isn't written for you if you're not strong spiritually. But if you consider yourself to be a spiritual type person, read on. He says, we who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. What? What? Not please ourselves? What? Yeah, you please other people first. Would you like to be pleased? Well, yes, I would. Remember Matthew 7:12? What you would like, you do that to others first. Let each one, in verse 2 of Romans 15, 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. That should be on our fridge. That should be right up there so we can remember it. Let each one of us please his neighbor for our neighbor's good, which leads to being lifted up. Remember? God will lift up the humble. We do the same thing for our brothers. Lift them up. Help them along. Then there's that other famous passage in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. We need to be like Jesus. I think everybody here knows that. We need to be like Jesus. And whatever it is that's keeping us from being like Jesus needs to be put away from us so we can be like Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Don't let anything be done so you can get ahead or because you think you're smarter or better than everybody else. Don't do anything for that reason. But in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his interests, but also for the interests of others. Be concerned about the interests of other people. Just for a side note, over in verse 20 and 21, here, this is in looking personally into Paul's life. He says, for I have no like-minded one who will sincerely care for your state. Paul says, I don't have anybody that will look after you like I will. For because, in verse 21, they all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ. There you go. You've got it. Seeking your own or seeking the things of Christ. Paul says that's where it's at. God sees our desire to serve Him through our actions with other people. Others see our desire to serve God by our actions. That's where it's at. So the successful person puts other people first because that's God's counsel to you. In every relationship, it doesn't matter. The last point to look at today is going to tell if the other three points are in place. This is really where the test is taken, all right? Because this isn't easy. Ephesians, are you in Philippians? And just turn back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. You see, because I think the successful person, number 4, this is point number 4, that successful person learns how to be sinned against. Oh, I don't like it when people sin against me. I didn't say you have to like it. You learn how to deal with it. Here, God counsels us from His Word how to deal with it. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. How should I forgive? Even as God in Christ forgave you, that's how. That's how you do it. We learn how to deal with being sinned against by being forgiving and tender-hearted. Kind to one another. Not seeking revenge because that belongs to God alone. If you're in Ephesians, flip over to Colossians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It's the same idea. Paul says, I'm going to start at verse 12. Paul says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. You got a complaint against somebody? What do you do with that complaint? It says, forgive them. I got a complaint? Forgive them. You see, we learn how to be sinned against. And then in a conversation I had with an individual this past week, we agreed that of all the things that Jesus asked us to do, forgiving is probably the most difficult. Oh, I can give money. Oh, I can give time. But when it comes to giving up the hold that I have over somebody else by forgiving them, you're asking too much. You see, that's the difficult thing, but it shows that the first three things are in order. We are finding time with God. We are submitting to His counsel from the Word. And we do give way to other people first. I like to be forgiven. I don't know about anybody else here. But when I do something wrong, I like to be forgiven. Matthew 7:12 says, whatever you want people to do to you, do that to them first. Hold it, wait. Now if I like to be forgiven, I guess then that means I need to be a forgiving kind of a person. That's how it works. The successful person learns how to be sinned against in a righteous sort of way. I'm going to take you to some more hard verse later. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18. I think you're familiar with these passages too. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh bosses. What? Yes, be submissive to them too. A successful person learns how to be sinned against. Did I say you deserve that kind of treatment? No, I did not. But what Peter is telling us here by inspiration of the Holy Spirit is, take it patiently. Don't gripe and complain. Because he goes on. Because if you do this, this is commendable before God. If because of conscience sake toward God, one endures grief and suffering wrongfully, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take that patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. How do we learn to be sinned against? Follow in Jesus' steps. And now in the Greek, I'll give you this lesson, and then we're pretty close to being done. In the Greek, the word for example there is a pattern. And they would take a pattern, and you take your ink pen without any ink, like a calligraphy pen. The easiest way I've heard to learn calligraphy, not that I have, but I've heard this, is you take a dry calligraphy pen. You take the paper that's got the letters written on it, and you take that pen with no ink and just trace the letters, you see. And when your hand gets familiar with the movements, put ink in the pen and try it. You see how close it comes. Well, that pattern, following that pattern to learn how to write, is exactly what we have here, an example that we should follow. How do we find success with God? Follow Jesus' example in all ways. It's as simple as that. We do that and we're out of here. We're done. When we walk in the example or in the steps of Jesus, that's the way we're closing in on being successful. And the world's going to laugh at you. The world's going to mock you. The world's going to say you're foolish. Good. I say, good. Let them. They said Jesus was foolish too. You can see by these four to go that the first two deal with God, the second two deal with our neighbors. The two great commands, love God first, love your neighbor as yourself. That's success. Living to be obedient to those commands will give us success with God. Finding quiet time, finding counsel from God's Word, putting other people first, and learning how to be sinned against. Those are four. There's other principles, others. You're going to have to learn more than just those four. But those four get you going, give you a good head start to do that.